Welcome to the Top 5 Podcast with your hosts, Rail Bricker and Lindsay Adams.
And welcome back. Our special guest today is Olivia Parks. Olivia was born in the UK but currently is residing in Chicago, where I believe it's a very chilly day. Surprise, surprise. Olivia's been in the US now for over a year. And she has an interesting background. Let me see here. Strong entrepreneurial spirit. Is really into system-oriented thinking and pursued a degree in pharmacology and then embarked on an entrepreneurial journey which took her through a whole bunch of different things, including establishing a digital marketing agency. And today she runs an operations agency. And that agency performs the role of COO in companies, and they build systems, and they believe that if we can build the right system in the team and get it all working, it basically creates the right kind of business. So welcome, Olivia.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
So, Olivia, we're here today to talk about the top 5 tips for leveraging operations and systematically scaling any business. So tip number one, let's go. What do you got?
Yeah, so the really first thing is that you need to document everything. So the processes in your company, and I would do this from day one, and I think that's why I had an advantage when I started my operations agency, because I'd already learned the hard way the, you know, negative effects of not documenting things. So if you're a solopreneur or you have a small team right now, you need to begin documenting. And there are huge businesses that don't even have documenting. So if that's the case, you need to do it as well. But essentially what that means is, you know, your onboarding processes, how you deliver work for a client, how you run team meetings, literally how you do every action in your company and what your team members are doing, that needs to be documented into SOPs. They can be written, they can be videos. Videos are great. You can just record yourself doing the task the next time you do it and walking through it. Put that into a kind of a storage like Notion where everyone in your company can have access to it. And now when you need to delegate this task or hire someone else to take it over, you've got it documented and you've got that training, because your business isn't scalable if all of the information is living inside of people's heads, right?
Okay, so let me ask you a question. And this is a challenge. I actually spoke about it in my first book, but the average entrepreneur doesn't know how to give up control. And so how do you take that entrepreneur to a point where they're going, okay, I'm happy to share what I do, what's sitting in my head. What's the motivation for them to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I was in that situation myself once. Really, it comes down to, are you willing to like not reach your potential and grow your business to the heights it could grow to? Because if you aren't willing to give up control, there's always a ceiling on how far you can grow. And so if you want to stay stuck, then you can not give up control. And my mentor demonstrated this for me one time. She said that, you know, she had a friend and they were basically at the same level of business. And the next year kind of rolls around and she's like skyrocketed and they're still at the same place because they were complaining that they were scared to hire people. They were scared to give up control. They didn't want to give up the tasks that they were doing. And so they just stayed stuck. And so if you don't want to give up control, you have to become really painfully aware to the fact that not giving up control is going to stop you growing. And when that pain becomes, you know, the pain of not growing becomes greater than the pain of being afraid to give up control, you will give up control and then you will be able to grow.
So where do you start? I mean, I get the fact that you document, but where do you start? You know, like there are so many things that a small business owner does.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would start with your most popular service. So systemize that whole process, how you onboard the clients for that service, how you deliver the service, you know, go through and create SOPs for every part of that. Then I would work on, you know, if you have people on your team and you know they're doing routine tasks, just give them a system of how to create that SOP. So if that's something that would be helpful, I can send you a link to what I use, and you can put that in the description. But essentially, you need to teach your team to document the stuff. Because if you have a team, you shouldn't be documenting everything. Get your team to document the routine tasks they're already doing, right? So I would start with your most popular service, work down from there. Then it's the routine tasks. And then anytime you are doing something repeatable, that can be delegated. So start with that and then find the right person to delegate it to. And you have created the process.
Perfect, Olivia. So let's move on then. So hit us up. Step number two, tip number two for leveraging operations and systematically scaling any business.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of links to the last one, but this is analyzing your business so you can automate it. And the part of that is you're probably wasting hours every week on stuff that could be automated. And when I say automated, I either mean from technology or you are giving it to someone else so it runs in a routine way. Technology is always the first way that we should, you know, tackle automating things. But, you know, I talk to clients all the time that sometimes that the thing that they want to automate would just cost so much in time, energy, and actual dollars that it's sometimes just cheaper to hire someone from offshore to do that task for you manually, and it achieves the same outcome, right? So you have to kind of think about it like that. But every week you need to, at the end of the week or on a Sunday, works really nicely, go through your calendar of that week and have a look at what did you do that was manual that could have been automated. And if you don't know like what could be automated because you're just like not inside that world, go and look at this tool called Zapier and type in some of the softwares that you use, and you'll begin to get ideas of how you can actually automate things. And if you have people on your team, you should have them do the same. Have them look at their calendar at the end of the week and think, okay, what could we have automated here? What could have freed up my time so I could spend it on higher leverage activities for the company?
So give me an example of something that you would automate. What's a no-brainer?
Yeah, so something really simple is like, this sounds like almost why would you even automate it? But something as simple as having a notification sent to, like if you use Slack, so having a notification sent to Slack every time a contract is signed, that saves you about 5 minutes of having to log into the software where your contracts are stored and seeing if someone signed it or not. You can immediately see, and then your team can start with onboarding. Similar thing is when a sales call comes through to your company, you can set up an automation to go to Slack or whatever you use for your team communication, have all of the qualifying questions from the sales call in there, and then you can react to this with an emoji, basically saying if you approve this call, like they're qualified, you want to take the call with this lead, or you want to cancel it. Right. And so that right there saves a lot of time because people spend like waste a lot of time that they don't even realize logging into softwares, searching for answers for things when it really should be streamlined in one place and all of the information automated into one place. So that's really one place that I start with, is just streamlining information and communication.
Okay. So let's ask the question of 2023 and 2024 and 5 and 6, AI tools. How far do you go using AI to automate?
I think it really depends on your business model. So if you can use AI to help you, you know, like write marketing plans and stuff like that, I think that it's a great place to start, but you need to know how to use the prompts and stuff like that. You need to have the right inputs to get the right outputs. And I think you have to remember that it's never going to, at least not right now, it's not 100% going to take over like your team's work, but it can cut that time by like 80%. So let's say if your team is spending, someone's writing content on your team, right? And it takes them like 3 hours. They could use like ChatGPT to give them a bunch of content ideas and write captions, and then they can go and edit it, put in some more human touch, and now that 3 hours has become 1 hour, right? So it's thinking of things like that. Thus, you can also automate.
Okay, I like the sound of that. So let's move on now. Tip number three.
Yeah. So tip number three is delegate, 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 right? And you can't delegate successfully if you haven't followed tip number one, documenting, right? Because your team, first of all, if you do that, you're going to spend hours on calls trying to explain things to people. You're going to get frustrated team members because they don't understand what they should be doing. And then you'll probably think that they're incompetent and then take back the task yourself. And then you're in this vicious cycle of not really being able to delegate. So you must make sure you document things and, you know, become better at communicating and delegating tasks so you can be successful at this. And if you've never done it before, be patient with yourself and just like let your team know about that. Okay. And clinging onto control and doing everything yourself is ultimately going to shoot you in the foot, like we were saying before, with letting go of control. And so you need to learn to let others do what you think only you can do. And I think that that's really a false belief. Oh, only I can do it. Well, there's, you know, billions of people in this world, and there's other people out there doing what you do, whether you want to believe it or not. And so other humans have the capacity and the capabilities to learn what you do. It's up to you to try and distill that knowledge. And so if you have those right SOPs and training processes, that's going to make it so much easier. But again, you cannot grow. You cannot grow your business past a couple $100,000 a year without delegating and without having other people. So if it's your goals to build a million, multi-million dollar business, etc., you need to learn how to delegate and how to get people to own their results.
I was going to say, you know, that's, I think the second part of it is the, I think the biggest challenge is that people delegate, but don't want to make people responsible for their own results. In other words, they still try and I see it. I'm a business in finance, and I see the number of people who are limiting their growth by still trying to micromanage, even though they're theoretically delegating.
Right. And so if you micromanage, again, you're still going to be bottlenecked because there's only so many people that you can micromanage, right? And this is why people, again, they get in a vicious loop. They micromanage. They think that this is too stressful. This is actually more stressful than when I was doing all the work myself. They fire everyone and then they just like start doing the work themselves again, right? So, So I think you have to, you have to remember that people are going to make mistakes and you have to give them the opportunity to make mistakes and that you're not going to fire them for the first mistake they make. You know, you're going to create an environment where they can make mistakes, but they have to learn from them. So if someone makes a mistake, say, okay, what happened here? Please explain it to me. What do you think we can do next time so we can avoid this? Right? Get them to explain their thinking and stuff like that. Then you'll mitigate those mistakes. And when you delegate a task to someone, you need to be very clear, like, this is the outcome that we're looking for. And especially important on tasks where you may not have so much of a system or it's a new thing that you're going into and you want this team member to take accountability for it. Say, this is the outcome we're looking for. And, you know, this is kind of the ballpark way that we want you to do it. But ultimately, this is the outcome. This is the deadline. This is your incentive for hitting the deadline or, you know, exceeding the deadline. It's up to you now. I expect this kind of communication and this is how you're going to present it to me. If you're really, really clear with those outcomes and you've done your job of hiring the right people, then, you know, you will find that people take ownership.
Fantastic, Olivia. So moving on, hit us up. Tip number four for leveraging operations and systematically scaling any business.
Yeah, so you need to think of each department in your business as a system and know that ultimately they're driven by numbers, right? So your marketing department is basically one lead generation system. You're taking people from strangers to leads, meaning you've either got the email, you've got a qualified application, you've got a book sales call. You need to determine what that metric is for yourself. And so every department in your company produces a result and you can turn that into a step-by-step system that you can then delegate to other people on your team. And marketing, as an example, can be really a series of systems because let's say you have five lead generation channels, right? Each time you have, you know, proven out a system to successfully take someone from stranger to lead, You can systemize that, delegate it to someone. Now you can move on to the next lead generation channel, right? So sales is taking the lead and turning them into a client. Then fulfillment is taking the paying client into, you know, a happy customer, someone that's giving you referrals, someone that's ascending, right? So we're looking at retention, lifetime value, referrals, that kind of thing. And then finances, we're really looking at profit and cash flow. And so that's how are we taking this money, but then how are we keeping it and how are we multiplying it and reinvesting it, right? So you need to understand that, because I think not everyone understands, and really like operations is supporting how all those departments run, right? So if you think of each department as a system, you're going to be much more likely to systemize it and fine tune them. And then you need to know the numbers. So what are the inputs and the outputs of each system, right? So how many, let's think of a marketing example. So it's like, let's say you're doing outbound messaging to book calls. So how many outbound messages do we need to do in order to book X calls? When you can systemize your departments like that, you're going to make your business very predictable, and that's good. And you need to track all the numbers in your company. Otherwise, you really don't know the levers to pull and you don't really know where you're at.
So that really comes back to documenting everything again, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really do build upon each other, and they're very much crucial.
Well, I love your terminology for marketing, from stranger to client or stranger to customer. I like that terminology. I think I might, you know, quote you one of these days when I'm talking about that process. So Olivia, let's round it out. Tip number 5 for leveraging operations and systematically scaling any business.
Yeah. So the last thing is that simplicity is really key. You've got to keep it simple. If you are, you know, I've talked a lot about systems right now and like building processes and stuff, but if you're building systems for the sake of having systems and it's not actually going to improve your company, then it's a waste of time. Because if you overcomplicate things and people don't understand how to use it, it's going to be a waste of time, right? And I was talking to a potential client earlier today, and they were telling me about their current system for like content production and social media. And they're saying that they write the content in a Google Doc and then they put it in Asana like when it's time to post it. And they're like, oh, is this, you know, can this be optimized more and et cetera? And I'm like, well, I'd really have to talk to the people on your team that are doing this and see, you know, is there a phase in the process where it's taking a really long time? Is it inefficient talking on this Google Doc, making edits, et cetera? Because you might find that even though it's not very glamorous, writing your content in this Google Doc doesn't sound very fancy, not using a bunch of softwares, it might actually just be taking as much time, if not less, than something else. So your ego might want to build this whole complex content production system. But if this is doing the same output in the same amount of time, creating that new system is going to be a waste of time. So you need to not get like shiny object syndrome in systems thinking it's going to solve your problem. You need to ask the right questions to see if it's really a bottleneck.
I like it. I like it a lot. So, Olivia, if our listeners wanted to get in touch with you to find out more about your approach to business, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, the best way would really be Instagram and also looking at my website and reaching us through there.
Okay, fantastic. You also mentioned that you had a standard operating procedure link that people can download and get some ideas. And you'll send that through, and we'll add that in the show notes as well. So it's my job now to actually thank you for Olivia Parks from Chicago, although a long way from London, where you were born in the UK, and in Sheffield actually was your hometown, I noticed in your bio. And thank you for joining us today on the Top 5 Podcast. Thank you to my co-host, Lindsay Adams from Brisbane, Australia. This is Rail Bricker from Perth, Western Australia, signing off for another edition of the Top 5 Podcast.